All right, friends, welcome to our January series. It's called Monsters Under the Bed. We're going to read this morning from John's epistle in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4, just one little verse, verse 18. So if you have your Bible, open it there, or you can follow along on the screen as I read. 1 John 4, verse 18. It says this: "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last summer, we did a survey in this church, and we asked you, what topics would you like for the pastors to address from the pulpit? What kind of sermons would you like to hear about? And you said, more than death and dying, more than heaven, more than sex and marriage combined, the number one answer was anxiety and peace. And so I took that to mean that maybe you, like me, live with some anxiety. Maybe you have some worries in your life. Maybe you have some things that you're afraid of. Maybe you would like to have more peace in your life. I know I'd like to have more peace in my life. And so during January, this is exactly what we're going to do. We're going to talk about anxiety and worry and fear and what it would take to have more peace. Because we know that some of the monsters under the bed are not real, but some of them are real. And yet, real or not, they seem to have this power in our life. And so we're going to talk about them together. So we're going to start with a little game this morning. And this is a little game that I made up. It's called Confess Your Fears. Doesn't that sound like fun? So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to say some things out loud, and if you're afraid of that thing, all you do, you just raise your hand, okay? So it's real easy. You can play along. All the kids can play, the adults, everyone can play. So how many of us are afraid of spiders? Oh, yeah, that's quite a few. Mice? Anybody afraid of mice? Oh, yeah, some real eager people. Yeah, absolutely. How about snakes? Oh, yeah, right. My hand's up on that one. How about airplanes? Couple. How about snakes on a plane? Yeah, that sounds like the worst thing I could imagine. How many of us are afraid of heights, being like really up high off the ground? Or clowns? Anybody afraid of clowns? Okay, all right, that's okay. Are you afraid of raising your hand in public? Anyone? I love how some of you humor me anyway. They're like, sure, we'll play along with that. How many are afraid of another season of The Bachelor on TV? Yeah, all right. Yeah, me too. How about the 2020 presidential election? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of groans every time I say that. Yeah. How about swimming in the ocean at night? How about being trapped in a small space? Yeah, I got claustrophobia. Going to the basement in the dark? Uh-huh, good, good. All right, let's get a little more personal now. You don't have to raise your hand. You can if you want, but you don't have to raise your hand because I'm going to ask some personal things here. I wonder how many of us are afraid of losing our jobs. I wonder how many of us are afraid that our health might get worse than it is, or that we might be alone in the world. Yeah, that's pretty scary, isn't it? I wonder if some of us are afraid of that our lives wouldn't matter, that we get to the end and we realize like it really not we didn't contribute anything to this world. I wonder if some of us are afraid of something bad happening to someone we love. I wonder if some of us are afraid of death itself, that we would have to face death. Friends, we're afraid of lots of things. And I wonder as we start this new year if we might be open to what God has to say to us about our fears. So we're talking today about how fear can be overcome, about what it would take for us to have peace in our lives. By the way, if you're the kind of person who might take notes during the sermon, this would be a great sermon for you to take notes for. You can take a pencil or pen out of the pew rack there and take the hymnal and press on that and just write on your bulletin or whatever. You can even do it on your phone. I promise not to judge you and assume you're doing Facebook if you want to take notes on your phone. But we're going to dig through the scriptures and talk about some ideas from the field of psychology. We're going to kind of plow some new ground together today as a church. So if you go on the internet and if you go to a Bible search engine and if you search the phrase, "do not be afraid," that will show up about 77 times depending on which version of the scripture you are searching in. And most of the time when the words "do not be afraid" appear in the scriptures, it is God speaking to God's people as a matter of encouragement, as a matter of, look, I'm with you. I know you're facing something difficult, but do not be afraid. It's in Genesis, it's in Exodus, it's in Numbers, many, many, many books of the Bible. God is saying to God's people, do not be afraid, over and over again. So what do we take from this? I think we take two things. One, God knows that we have a tendency to be afraid. That to be human is to sometimes be afraid. And that we're not the only ones. The people of God way back then when the scriptures were written were also afraid. And they were afraid of the same kinds of things that you and I are afraid of. If you look in the Bible, you see that the people are afraid of change. They're afraid of abandonment. They're afraid of new ideas. They're afraid of scary people. They're afraid of difficult tasks. And the list goes on and on. So one, we can take from this that, you know what, sometimes human beings are scared. The second thing I think we take from this is we don't have to be. We don't have to be afraid. In fact, God does not want us to be afraid. John Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement of which we are a part, used to say that every command of God is a covered promise. Every command of God is a covered promise. What does that mean? It means that if God is going to command us to do something, God will give us the power by the Holy Spirit to do it. That means if God is going to command us not to be afraid, God is going to make a way for us not to be afraid. God's commands and God's promises go hand in hand. Now, fear is so very human, isn't it? All of us have fears, but what I need you to understand, friends, is fear is not from God. We are not afraid because God has made us afraid. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline." Friends, fear is not from God. Fear is not from God. The spirit of fear that some of us live with, that anxiety, that worry that kind of plagues us, that is not from God. Now, it is true that God has given us a healthy respect for things that can harm us, right? And so your hesitation about running out into traffic when there's a bunch of cars on the road, that's sort of a God-given, sort of healthy kind of fear that we have. It's the kind of prudence that keeps you from doing the same thing your friend Steve does when he says, "Hey man, hold my drink and watch this," right? And you're like, "No, I'm not going to do that because that is foolish and that's going to cause me harm." So there's a sort of healthy fear that God has built into our DNA. What we're talking about today is something different. We're talking about the unhealthy kind of fear that keeps us captive. We're talking about an exaggerated fear that some of us have about real things. We're talking about the kind of fear that some of us have about things that aren't even real or are very unlikely to happen to us. We're talking about the spirit of fear that troubles our souls that so many of us live with all the time. Let me offer you a definition of fear. We're going to spend so much time talking about it. Probably good to agree what it is we mean. Fear, you could talk about it in a lot of different ways. The way I want you to think about it today is fear is an emotional or spiritual experience of dread about a looming potential loss. Okay, let me say that again. Fear is a spiritual or emotional experience of dread about a looming potential loss. We become afraid of something in the future that involves a loss of some kind, of our physical health, of our safety, of someone we love, of something we have. That is fear. Now, why is this such a big deal? Why do we take a whole sermon or a whole series to deal with this? And I want to suggest to you, I think it's because fear has the power to control us. If we let it. Fear has this power to paralyze us and hold us captive, and it keeps us from doing the things that we want to do. It keeps us from doing the things that we need to do, that God calls us to do, and who God calls us to be. Most of all, fear robs us of peace. Fear robs us of peace. The gift of God at Christmas time, the reason we put up trees and hang lights is because Jesus is born in the world and Jesus' gift to us is peace. But fear and anxiety and worry have this ability to steal that peace away from us. Now, for some of us, fear shows up just kind of once in a while when there is something that we are afraid of. So when you go on a job interview, or you go on that first date with that cute boy or that cute girl, or when you send your daughter off to college for the first time and you say, oh my gosh, she was just in kindergarten just now, and now you're telling me she's an adult and I'm helping her move to a new town, to a university. I don't know if I can handle this. For some of us, though, fear is not just an occasional thing. Fear is kind of always has this low hum in the background, like a furnace that's running, and you don't really notice it, but you've learned to cope with it. You know, you kind of learn to deal with it and kind of make do, and you kind of put on a brave face, and you show up day after day, and you pretend like it's not there, but when you start to actually take notice, you realize how much fear there is in your life, and there it is making some noise in the background and affecting your life and taking up a lot of your energy, a lot of your energy to feed that fear. I wonder if you can imagine what it would be like to be set free from that kind of fear. I wonder if you can imagine what it would be like for God to set us free from these fears that we have. The field of psychology teaches us a lot about these kinds of things to help us understand what it is and how it works. And let's acknowledge that not all psychologists are believers in Jesus Christ, that's okay. We don't have to only take ideas from people who love God in order to learn things, right? So we take ideas from all kinds of fields, and we put on our lenses, the lenses of faith, to look at these ideas together. So how many of you took psychology class in high school or in college? Okay, a lot of you, right. Some of you will remember Abraham Maslow and his hierarchy of needs. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs is this idea, this pyramid graphic idea that says all of us as human beings have needs, and at the bottom there are very concrete ones, and higher up the ladder are more abstract ones, but you can't really get to the higher needs until you've met the more basic ones. And so at the bottom is physiological needs like food and water and clothing and shelter. And that once you've had those needs met in your life, you can move up to the need for safety. And once you're safe and clothed and you're well fed, you can start thinking about things like love and belonging and self-esteem. But we know that unless you have food and water, you're not going to be able to pursue ideas like belonging and love and self-esteem. That's just sort of how we are hardwired, and psychology teaches us this. Now, psychologists will also teach us that there is something called the fear hierarchy. That in the similar vein as Maslow's hierarchy of needs, there is a set of fears, and at the bottom, the most concrete fears, and as you move up, more abstract ideas about things that we are afraid of in our life and in the world. And so it starts at the bottom with death. And so some of us are afraid of death, or maybe if we're not afraid of death itself, maybe we're afraid of things that can cause us death, right? That's why we're afraid of heights. That's why we're afraid of snakes. That's why we're afraid of driving too fast in the car. So you move up from there and you go to autonomy. We're afraid of losing our autonomy. What does that mean? Losing our independence. Losing our ability to make decisions that will allow us to manage our life in the way that is most comfortable to us. This is where you would put a fear of losing your job, a fear of losing your home, fear of losing your health. This is where you might put hoarding. Now, some of us are hoarders, or we know people who are hoarders. The thing with hoarders is I cannot get rid of anything because I might need it in the future. And if I got to that future place and I didn't have that thing, then what would I do? And I'd be in a really difficult place, right? So I would lose control of my life in that way. This is probably where you'd put claustrophobia, because if I can't escape, if I can't get out into a more comfortable place, then that causes me fear. Then you move up to fears of separation. So this is where you think about the fear of being alone, the fear of getting divorced or never getting married or marrying the wrong person. This is the fear of someone we love dying. And finally, at the top is what we might call fears of ego. And ego in the sense of that there's damage to ourself and who we understand ourselves to be. So this would be like the fear of failure or the fear of being insignificant. You know, what if my life doesn't really matter after all? Now, this is the fear where we get our fear of humiliation. Right? This is the fear of public speaking. What if I stand up in front of a group of people and I humiliate myself and I'm embarrassed and then they're embarrassed for me. Have you ever been to an experience where someone stood up in front of a group and it didn't go well, and they were really embarrassed? How did you feel? You felt embarrassed for them, didn't you? Yeah, and that's that sort of ego type fear. We're afraid, a damage to a sort of our inner self and our sense of who we are on the inside. Now, here's the thing, friends. The problem is not only that this makes us feel bad, and we do get miserable when we're in fear. The problem is also, and moreover, that fear has this power to control us. Fear has this power to paralyze us, to keep us immobile. And so we say, well, I could never ask that girl out because she might say no. I could never do that new job. I might not be good at it. I could never move to that new city because I don't know anyone there. I could never ask for forgiveness because that would make me seem weak. See, fear wants to control us, friends. So if we're going to find freedom in this, we not only have to understand intellectually how this works, that's a start, but that's not enough, because I don't know if you've noticed, you and I have very little power, it seems, over our fear. Have you ever noticed how fear just kind of does whatever it wants to do in our lives, and we don't really get to control it? It sort of just happens to us. And so what I want to suggest to you, the only way we're going to overcome that is if we tap into God's power for our lives, and particularly the love of God for us. I want you to look with me again at the promise from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. There is a particular kind of love that your Creator has for you, and it has the power to drive out fear from your life. Now, how does that work? Because that seems almost impossible, right? I want you to imagine for a moment, the love of God is so big, it is so powerful, it's so all-consuming that it fills the entire space where it is made welcome. In this room, or in your house, or in your heart. And it's so big that there is no room for anything else in that space, especially for fear. Fear is driven out because of the enormity of the love of God. There is no fear in love, but God's perfect love drives out fear. God's love is fear repellent, my friends. Think about it like this. You're outside on a winter day. You're outside too long, you're freezing cold, your fingers are starting to get numb, your toes are starting to get numb, your body's starting to move a little slower, maybe even your mind is starting to move a little slower, you are chilled to the bone, and that's what fear is like. And then you come inside the house, and you get into a nice warm bath. And the warmth of that water surrounds you so that the cold can no longer exist in that place. Only warmth can exist in that tub. That is what God's love is like. It surrounds you so completely, if you're open to it, it surrounds you so completely that it drives fear out completely, the way that a hot bath drives out the cold from your body. The overwhelming love of God is what overcomes our fear. The overwhelming love of God is what overcomes our fear. God's love is so powerful, so all-encompassing that it surrounds you and everything, and fear cannot exist in that place. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 8. He said, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No! In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the promise of a God who loves us, friends. And Paul, who wrote these words, he should know. Paul went through so many hardships in his life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Paul was arrested and beaten and put on trial. He was lied about and he was shipwrecked and he was bitten by a snake and he was held in prison and he faced cold and darkness and hunger and thirst. And yet, this is his testimony. This is his testimony that none of that, nor the fear of any of that, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I know that some of you have been through hard things. I know that some of you are going through hard things right now, and you show up to church on Sunday morning, and you put on a brave face, and you smile at your friends, but deep down inside you, you are struggling. Now, how do I know that? Because some of you have told me, and I'm grateful for trusting me with that, but also because I've been there. I've been there. I've shown up on those Sundays when I just really did not feel like being here at all, and I pretended like everything was great, but man, deep inside, I was struggling. What I need you to understand, friends, is no matter what you are afraid of what being afraid of what tomorrow will bring, or being afraid of all the what-ifs or the if-nots, God can drive out that fear from your life. Not even the worst thing that we could imagine can separate us from God's love in Jesus Christ. I want to try to make this real for you today, to give you something to kind of hold on to and hang on to and think about and chew on and live with for this week and for this month. Let's go back to the fear hierarchy for just a minute and think together about how God's love drives out all of these fears, all the fears that psychologists can help us name. God's love drives all of them out. So let's start at the top and go down. So our ego fears, our fear of failure, of humiliation, of being insignificant, of not mattering. You know what God says? God says, you matter to me. I care about you enough to send my own son, Jesus Christ, to live and die and rise again. That's how much you matter to me. And when we are afraid of separation, of being alone, of losing someone we love, God says to us, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I am with you always, Jesus said to his disciples, right before he ascended to return and sit at the right hand of God the Father. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, to the end of eternity, he is with us. When we fear a loss of our autonomy, you know, when we fear losing our jobs or our homes or economically difficult situation, we're afraid of not being in control of our lives. God says to us, you can trust me. You can trust your life to me. Would you hand it over? Would you hand it over to me and let me care for you in the way that only I can care for you? God says, you can trust me. And then finally, the last one on the list, maybe the first and worst fear of all, our fear of death. God says, I have overcome death. I've overcome it through the resurrection of my son, Jesus Christ. So you don't have to be afraid. Now, if we're honest, we would say, yeah, sometimes we're afraid to die, aren't we? But if there was one group on this whole earth, one group of people who should not be afraid to die, don't you know it would be the church of Jesus Christ? We believe in a Savior who promised us that when we die, we go to a place called paradise, we rest with all the saints until the day when Jesus comes back and he says, people of God, get up, and he's going to raise us from the dead, and we will spend eternal life in heaven with God and each other forever and ever. We're afraid of that? That is the greatest good news of all time, that you can live forever. You can be with the saints, with brothers and sisters, with your family forever and ever. That is the greatest good news of all time. That's not a reason to be afraid. That's a reason to celebrate. That's why some of the earliest saints, they were excited to die and were like, are you crazy? And they're like, are you crazy? I'm going to heaven. That's the best thing ever. Friends, we do not have to be afraid. This is the power of the love of God for us. So here's my invitation to you today is number one, to believe it, to believe this good news that God has for us, that perfect love casts out fear, and then to trust that God can do that in your life today. Now, he may not do it all at once. It might take time and chip away and work at it and be more and more open to what God wants to do. But that's what God can do. That is what God can do for you. You don't have to be afraid. Let God's people say amen.